Okay. I had a word for them, but I'll give it to them afterwards. Anyways. Do we know them? Sorry, I don't. Dernville Am. Okay, cool. If they do come and just remind me. Hey, Brandon, over there. Awesome. So I was waiting for your word because I'm so, so nervous tonight to preach. I'm really, really afraid. And it doesn't look like it because I'm just trying to smile to make myself feel better. But this one's going to be an interesting one, I think. Bear with me. A lot of scripture tonight. I've been sitting on this preach for like 2-3 months now. And it's going to come out tonight. It's going to be exciting. So buckle in. I'm hoping God will challenge us and encourage us tonight. So I'm going to be speaking on, I want to redefine suffering for us tonight. No, just at the gate, redefine suffering. And so that's what we're going to do through the book of Job. And whenever I've heard preachers on Job, it's been interesting. You always hear about how bad the friends were that he had, and he did have quite some bad friends, and they kind of missed God totally. It's always about suffering. It's always about all those kind of things, you know, and how to overcome it. But when I read it a few months ago, went through the whole book, something just stood out to me. And God asked me a question, and I've been working that in my heart. So I'm going to ask you the question, because I don't want to just be the guy that God nails all the time. You know what I'm saying? So I'll take you with me on my journey, as a good pastor should. And so just to remind you, if you want to go read an amazing book that will freak you out, go read the book of Job. So it starts off with God in heaven, and he's speaking to his angels, and this might freak out some people off the bat. And all of a sudden, Satan, the devil, the ancient serpent, whatever you want to call him, comes into the presence of the Holy One, which is a little interesting, because can God be in the presence of evil if he's holy? Okay, just going to throw that out there. So it's going to go deep very quickly. And then they have this conversation. He's talking to the angels. And then something significant happens. And it's the starting point of Job's suffering. And it goes like this. So this is the question I want to ask ourselves. Why was Job chosen by God the Father to suffer? So we're going to see two scriptures that give us that answer. So can you hit Job 1:8 quickly? So it says this, and then the Lord said to Satan, so they're having this conversation, where have you come? I've been on the earth, roaming to and fro. And then the Lord says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away evil. Okay, so why is Job thrust into suffering? Okay, keep this. Can you hit that next scripture, 2:3? And then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Okay, he says the same thing, but there's a little bit of an extra bit on the end of this one. That there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He still holds fast to his integrity. That's the different part. Although, I can't even see that far. Why am I? Yes. Although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason. And so the question very quickly is, we have to redefine suffering. The only reason why Job is chosen to suffer is because he's upright, righteous, blameless. He turns away from evil, and he's a man who holds fast to integrity. Okay, no one's run out yet. No one's escaped through the doors. It's awesome. So think about this. What did you say? None of us are white boys. Yeah. That was a good one. Whoever said that? Well done to you, Glenn. Steve, oh my goodness. Do we have hope? And so you see this. So often we blame our circumstances. We blame the devil. We blame even God sometimes. We blame what we're doing. And his friends got it wrong. His friends the whole way through the book are going, Job, you must have done something wrong to deserve what you're getting. But in actual fact, God initiates towards Satan going, there's this man and his name is Job. And he's like no one else on this earth. You can do anything to him and he'll hold the line. And that's the start of his suffering. Crazy. It's like, and so when it comes to questions like why do bad things happen to good people? I mean, my question is, who's good? Only Jesus is good, the Bible says. And so I know that we've all suffered through the last year and a half. Through COVID, through financial pressure, through relational pressure, it's just been a crazy time in our lives. And I'd love us to look at this book very quickly tonight and maybe redefine our suffering. And if you are suffering right now, that you suffer well. Does it make sense? And so let's go on and let's look at it. So the only reason why he suffers is because God said, consider this guy. Then the challenge is on. And Job 1 verses 9 to 11 says this. 9 to 11. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all he has and he will curse you to your face. And so God throws out this, have you considered? And then Satan comes back because that's what he does. He accuses, he goes against, he tries to ridicule, he tries to, that's his job in a sense. That's what happened when he fell from heaven. And he's going, you've put this hedge around him, you've given him blessing, you've given him all the stuff that he has. If you take that away, he's going to curse you to your face. And he does this twice. And you know the story. Yo, just imagine this. It's just like he's doing his daily business, boom, all your goats are gone, or whatever it was. I can't remember now. All your livestock is gone. All your family's gone. All your possessions are gone. All your money that you've gone. Everything's gone. Just one servant after the next, after the next, after the next. In that moment, just imagine the devastation in his heart. And he is devastating. We'll see how devastated he is. I love Job because he's so real. But then he doesn't curse God. He doesn't do anything. He still holds his integrity. And then in Job 2, verses 4 to 5, says this. So Satan comes back again and says, Satan answered the Lord and says, skin for skin then. Because he tried the whole, let's just take everything, all his possessions away. Take that hedge away from him. And he goes, skin for skin. All the man has, he will give up for his life. He's going. So Satan goes, yes, this didn't work the first time. And okay, touch his body. Give him illness. And he's gonna wobble. He's gonna turn from you. And this Job is an amazing guy. And so, so the challenge is on. So God says, "Hey, have you considered?" Satan challenges him. Okay, I'm willing. I'm ready to go. I want to go against this man named Job. I want to prove you wrong, God. And then ultimately, and this is a very freaky part of the story. Who allows Job then to go through his suffering? You don't want to answer that, hey? God does. And I love this because Satan doesn't really have any power over us. He can only do what God's told him to do. He's got this parameter. He can't go over that. God is sovereign, in control, in all his righteousness, in all his goodness, in all his awesomeness. Thank you to Nick at the back there. Thank you. And so listen to this, Job 1, verses 12. The Lord said to Satan, very well, then everything he has is in your power, but not on the man himself do you lay a finger. And then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and he just devastated. That's crazy. Job 2, verses 6. Then the Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. And he goes out and just devastates him. And so you see, I know, you go, what the heck, Brett, why are you bringing this now? Like, what the heck are you trying to do to us? But we have to redefine the way we suffer sometimes. God is sovereign. He is in control. I believe that with all my heart. Devil doesn't really have power unless God allows him to. That's awesome. But even when we're righteous, even when we're doing well, even when we are loving God, God can still go, hey, have you? I want to be that guy. Who can live that? Do you want to be? It's a good question to ask yourself, right? It just turns your whole theology upside down. It's like, woe is me. And I think what's happening, and we've got to be very careful for this. I think worldwide, the church is in serious trouble because what I think is happening is we have this entitlement thing that's coming into us. And that means, like, we deserve everything. We deserve comfort. We deserve food. We deserve stuff. Actually, the only thing we really deserve is hell. But the grace of God has taken that away from us. So actually, we're doing quite well. And so if we become entitled, it's actually pride. And you'll see through the story, I'll end with this just now. Job does so well, he never sins against God, but there's still pride in his heart. And it's the way he talks to God at the end. And then God judges him, you'll see, and he humbles himself. It's this amazing thing. And so even if we're doing really well, and we're the most blameless person who's ever lived, turning away from evil, integrity in that, there still might be this pride that's lurking behind. And we've got to be very careful that we don't let that thing spout out. And I'm hearing a lot of people going, I don't believe in God anymore because he did this to me. Or, I don't believe in God because he took that person away from me. Or, I don't believe in God because he took my job away. And I thought, yes, I'm like, you're on such serious, dangerous ground. You've got to be very careful not to jump to that conclusion too quickly. And I can imagine Job was wanting to go there. Because this was a long period of time. This wasn't in a couple of days. You know what I mean? This was a long period of his life that he experienced these pains and these sufferings and stuff. It wasn't just overnight. And we so often read the Bible and we think it's like this because we know the end of the story. He didn't. Okay, hopefully you'll. Thank you, you'll smile. But think about it. It's like you don't know the end of your story. You might be suffering right now, but tomorrow might be that breakthrough. Who knows? You don't know. But it's that perseverance that gets us there, right? Okay, so let's carry on because I don't want to go too long on this thing. So how does Job respond? And he responds immediately in two ways, and it's a beautiful thing. In Job 1 verses 20-22, sorry, there's a lot of scripture, but I want to make it scriptural. I don't want to, because it's quite a big topic. So then Job arose and tore his robes and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. What? He's just lost his family, everything he owned, all his wealth, everything. And he tears his robe, he shaves his head. He must have been a good-looking guy at that moment. You got it? For those guys who are bald. And he fell on the ground and he worshipped. And this is crazy. And he said, naked I have come from my mother's womb and naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Listen to this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Yes, that's awesome. I don't do that when I mess up all the time. Greg, how's it, Bree? Lucky to see you, man. Jeez, that's a real long time. Sorry, Rabbit. So good to see you, man. You've been in Joburg, eh? That's why I haven't seen you for a while. Cool, welcome. Very good. Sorry, I mustn't. Think about that. Everything that he's lost his kids, he's lost, falls on the ground, worships God. Naked, I've come from my mother's womb. Naked, I'll be blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh. Jesus, like, it's awesome. The second time, after his body's been beaten with sickness and that, in Job 2, verses 8 to 10, it says this, and he took a piece of broken pottery, and with it he scraped himself while he sat in ashes. It must have been horrific. Because there were sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. It must have been, you know, like, yeah. And he scraped himself while he sat in ashes. And then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? His own wife. So he's lost everything. And now his body has been beaten. And now his wife turns on him. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's going from worse to worse to worse. And it's just because God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Crazy thought. Because he's righteous and good and integrity. And she said, curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of those foolish women who speak. Shall we receive good from God? And this is very important for us today, guys. Shall we just receive good for God? And shall we not receive evil? And in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Isn't this redefining the way we suffer? Crazy thought, hey. So if you're suffering right now, not just because God is very pleased with you. I know, it's weird to say that. But do we respond like him? Or has entitlement got into us so much and our pride is so, we're so full of pride that we're like, we deserve this. We deserve what we think we deserve. Has that pride taken root in us as a family? Sorry, I don't want to be, so this is very encouraging as well, because if we suffer well, there's double blessing coming. You know what I'm saying? We're getting there. And I love you guys so much. I do. I like. And I'm loving what God's doing in us. And I'm loving the growth that I'm seeing. I'm loving the passion that's been stirring. I'm loving, like, God seems to be stretching our temper. There's something here. That's why I wanted to drop this today, because it's like there's something in us that God is doing amazingly well. We've just got to jump on board with him, you know. And so it's one thing to suffer in a moment. It's another thing to sustain that over a long period of time. And I just want to very quickly go through the rest of the book. And just, I want to show you how he responds. So his friends, and I know a lot of these responses are in connection with what his friends were saying. But in chapter 4, his friend goes, hey, you are where you are because the innocent prosper. And you're not innocent because you're not prospering. In chapter 8, they say, Job, you should repent. In chapter 11, he says, you deserve what you're getting. You actually deserve more than what you're getting now. The worst thing what God is doing to you right now because they believe he is in the wrong. Chapter 15, Job does not fear God. He's not a man that doesn't fear God. Chapter 18, God punishes the wicked. You mean these are his friends saying you are undeserving. You should get worse punishment. You don't fear God. You mean these guys are not really good friends, are they? My friends, I'd really not be happy with them at all. God punishes the wicked. The wicked will suffer in chapter 20. Job's sickness is great and because of his wickedness in chapter 22. And even in Job 16, he says, you are miserable comforters. It's crazy. Just imagine. You've just lost everything. Your wife turned on you. Your best friends come sit there and basically say, you're the worst scum of the earth. And you deserve everything and more that you're getting right now. That's exactly what they're saying. Cheers, eh? Have a lovely life, friends. So obviously, and this is what I love about Job. Because when we read the Bible, so often we miss the humanness of it, right? So just watch this. Chapter 3. I curse the day I was born. He's not doing well. Okay? Chapter 7. My life has no hope. This guy's really not doing well. And his friends are battening him. Then in chapter 10, he calls to God. So he's like, you know, like all over the place. I love it. Chapter 12. The Lord has done this to me. So somehow he's picking it up. Okay, actually God is in this. Chapter 13, I hope in God. So he goes, okay, God's done this to me. I'm going to hope in you, God. You know, like from lo the day I have ever been born to my hope is in you. Then he says, death comes to us all. Now he's realizing, maybe I'll die. He's like very much like me, up and down all the time. Then in verse 19, my Redeemer lives. Then in chapter 23, where is God? He's just like all over the place. Then chapter 26, God's majesty is unsearchable. Now he's so confused as to what's going on. And what I love about that is, I just summarized all the chapters. What I love about that is it just shows his humanness. If you are suffering, it is actually all right to have emotion. And to be angry sometimes. And to be, because I don't know, there's a facade that we have to be like. You know what I'm saying? I don't know the words for that. You know what I mean? Like everything has to be prim and proper, and it's like. But I think what God's calling us, we've got to just be real. You know what I mean? Like, if we're going through hard times, we're going through hard times. You know what I love about Will? Sorry, Dad, can I use you as an example? It'll be a good thing. Okay, you just I was also eyebrows, so I'm taking that as a yes. Will's facing his immortality every day, actually, with his fight against cancer right now. Yeah, man, and there's been days I could check. He's just knocked down. But you know, I said to him the other day, I might cry because I just, what he preaches is what he lives. And he chooses faith. And he chooses hope. And he chooses God. And every time I've got up to his room, his Bible's right next to him. And it's just, he's real. And he's like, sometimes we're bread and we talk about eternity and transitioning and what's going to happen. But he's just always, it's Jesus. An amazing man of faith there. So many guys preach something and they live a whole different life. I'm telling you now, what I've seen of my father-in-law is he practices what he preaches. And he's been a testament to me. And he's been, just every day I wake up going, Brett, you better be a better person today. You got to keep up with that. You know, that's awesome. And I feel like that's like, it's like a Job. And he's like, yes, I'm not feeling like it with this chemo, but I'm gonna choose to go on a bike trip with you. I'm gonna choose to go to Stellenbosch and meet with guys and potentially elders. And I mean, that's amazing. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to put you in my preach, but I love you. Thank you for being awesome. And so Job goes through this whole thing, and then right at the end of the book, and we're gonna start landing soon. I don't want to be too long. God shows up and he's had enough now. He's had enough of Job and all his moaning. He's had enough of his friends who have been dumbasses and just saying stupid things, totally missing everything. And God says, enough is enough. And in Job chapter 38 to 40, God just reveals his sovereignty and he actually rebukes Job and Job's friends. And he says, enough is enough. I'm going to tell you now who I am. It's a beautiful, beautiful couple of scriptures. He says, where were you before the foundation of the earth? What does the mountain goat follow you and listen to you? Does the ostrich just runs away from its eggs? And he just goes, poof, poof, poof. Who are you? Leviathan. If you want to, guys are like fire-breathing dragons, Leviathan. Job chapter 41, I think it is. Fire-breathing dragon. Who are you? Can you spear the Leviathan? Can you thrust a spear through his scaly skin? No, you can't because you are nothing but I created you. He's like, poof. Job's like, oh, cook. Oh, cook, who's this God? And then in Job 38:3, this is what God says. Gird up your loins like a man. And this is what God's saying to Job now. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. In other words, he's going, Job, it's my turn to tune you now. You're. And Job's suffering has twofold explanation. First one is this. His first purpose on the outset was to demonstrate God's value and his glory. It's beautiful. Job suffered to show God's value and his glory. And then secondly, the purpose was to refine Job's righteousness. So in other words, his suffering is not punishment. It's not a sign of God's anger. Job's pain is not pain from the executioner's whip, but the pain of a surgeon's scalpel. The removal of the disease of pride is the most loving thing God could do, no matter what the cost. Okay, so can I just tell you, so first of all, God was glorified in Job's suffering, and the fact that he held his integrity right through his life gave glory to God, and Satan was destroyed. And the second thing is this, Job, yes, you're so good in so many ways, but there's still this thing called pride in you, and you've got to be very careful. And how dare you question me, the living God? Yes, it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful book. Oh. And so when we suffer, it firstly needs to be to his glory. And then we need to look at ourselves and go, okay, God, help me. That I don't have any more pride left. And we know that this is a daily thing. We die daily to ourselves. It's an ongoing thing with the Lord. And I can see it in so many of us, and I'm so encouraged. But can I encourage you? Yes, your life might suck for you right now. You might be feeling, yes, Brad, I don't know if I can do it another day. Can I tell you, you can. Because God is with you. And God is awesome. Oh, can we? And he wants to be like a surgeon and just cut those things out of us. So Job answers him in Job 42, verses 1 to 3. You have done so well, Kevin, today. Sorry, I was throwing lots of scriptures at you. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purposes of yours can be, what is this word? What the heck does that mean? Prevail, hey, or stopped, okay. I try to pronounce it. I practice. Sorry, for those of you who don't know me, I battle with reading sometimes. Try to practice a word. I just couldn't get it today. Who is this that hides a counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. What he's basically saying to the God is this, God, I'm sorry for speaking out of turn. I thought I knew you in this way. But man, you've shown me something and I see you in a totally different way now. And it just humbles him. And I think that's what God wants for us. And the question that I want to leave with you and with me is this. Are you the man or the woman or the young person, because you're in your own category, who God can consider to suffer well? It's a good question to ask. Are you that person? That in the heavenly realms, however it works, who knows? And God comes to us and says, have you considered my servant Brett? Because he's upright, turns away from evil, holds fast his integrity. Do whatever you want to him, he'll be cool. Yes, I want to be that guy. That's a dangerous thing to want, I suppose, eh? Give what you wish for. But I think that's the point for us. You might be going, Brett, what the heck does this book have to do with me? That's that. That's it. Are you the person that God can consider? And if you do consider that, and I hope that is your consideration, I just want to end with this. If that is our hearts, to glorify God in that way, and to be and to redefine suffering and doing it his way, four things need to happen in our hearts. First of all, we need to believe with all our hearts that he's absolutely the sovereign God. And we need to pray that God will give us that conviction. If we want to suffer well like Job did and end like he did, it's amazing. We need to see, we need to believe, ask God, give us a conviction that you are sovereign, that you're absolutely true and righteous in everything you do, that you don't make mistakes, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, that whatever your choices are for my life, it is absolutely in your plan and your purpose. That's why your word was so like spot on today. Conviction of that. Second thing, we need to believe in our hearts that everything he does is right and good. So we need to pray for not only conviction, but assurance of that. God, you are good. I want to be assured of that. Third, repent of all the times we have questioned God and found fault with him and his in the way that he has treated you. We need to pray that we would be humble when it comes to sin in our own lives. Well, that's a hard one, hey? Repenting every time we've challenged him. And that's what Job did, and that's what his friends did. It's like, hey, you God up there. And he said, no. You are talking about things you don't understand yet. And then fourthly and lastly, be satisfied with the holy will of God and not to murmur. So it's conviction, assurance, humility, and satisfaction. Satisfaction, is that a word? Satisfied in him. Whatever, you guys know what I'm saying. And it's amazing, when Job did that, when he got to this place where he was just like, God, you're sovereign. I believe with everything in my heart. I repent. Because there's a whole chapter on him repenting to God and being satisfied. You know what God does? Let me just find this because I've been jumping around my notes here. Listen to this. And then God, so he does this. And then God goes and he rebukes his friends. And they have to make sacrifices for them to be atoned. And this is what happens in verses 42:10. Please, Kev. This is so cool. And then the Lord restored the fortunes of Job. Listen to this. When he had prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, you need to understand what's going on here. So his friends messed up big time. And God was not happy with them. And so Job, coming through the suffering, keeping his integrity, stood proxy for his friends. And they found the favor of the Lord because of his life. And then, once he prayed for him, God restored everything that Job had double time. Yeah, that's profound. And so I want to end with this. If we suffer well, we can be a Job to others. Just as Will has encouraged me, hopefully one day when I'm suffering, I can encourage someone else. And hopefully you, if we suffer well, can encourage someone else that the Lord is glorified. Thank you for bearing with me. There's a lot of scripture. But I thought, I've been sitting on this and it's just been such life to me, just trying to redefine our suffering and what God's doing. And so I want to pray for us, and I just want to trust God to you as we go into this week. I'd encourage you, go read the whole book for yourself. I've just tried to condense it into like a 30-minute sermon kind of thing. It's such a wonderful book of God's graciousness, mercy, sovereignty, bigness. We made it. No one escaped, which is great. Sorry? I don't know anything else. Let's just pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness, Lord. We spoke about it, or we sang about this tonight, Lord. You're good in all your ways. We love you, love what you're doing. And you are, Father. You are. And I thank you for your word that is living and active, Lord. Thank you that it cuts through the marrow and the bone. Thank you that it challenges us and grows us into men and women and teenagers alike to the image of your son, Jesus. And Lord, I want to pray for us as a congregation tonight. For those who are suffering deeply, Lord, that you will just redefine that suffering to them. Lord, that you'll give them that strength, that they'll see you as sovereign, that they'll have assurance of that, Lord. Lord, that if there's any pride in them, Lord, that you'll just sort that out, that you'll scalpel that out of them. Lord, that they can rise again and live this life worthy and honoring and glorifying to you. For those here going, Brett, you are on drugs. Why do you preach this preach? Lord, I pray that, Lord, that there will be many of us in this place that will commit our lives today, again, to you afresh when it comes to this thing of, Lord, we want to be that man or that woman that you consider. And as I pray this, could I just say this, as our eyes are closed and you hopefully with just thinking about the Lord. Guys, our lives are not about ourselves. I want to remind you, you are not your own. If you are professing to be a child of God, born again by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God says you have been bought at a price. You are no longer alive, but Christ is living in you. And I want to call out to you, I want to challenge you tonight. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ here, and your heart has gone wayward, and you've been blaming God, and you've been making excuses, and you have been putting things in the way of Him working in you, could I ask you, right now in this moment, between you and Him, just to say, God, I want to be that man or woman that you consider. And just spend some time with Him, just in this moment. I'll just stop talking for a bit. And just you and the Lord, just say, God, you know my heart. You know where I've been. You know where I'm going. But I want to be that person that's upright, righteous, full of integrity. When no one else is looking, I choose your ways. And if you have the faith to do that tonight, could you do that? Just you and the Lord. So Father, as we go into this week, into this crazy world we live, we also want to pray that your Spirit will be upon us, that we could be a Job to someone else. That people will see you in us, even through the bad times and the rough times. That your grace will come through us, Lord, that we'll be a conduit for you. That we'll be that reflective light to this dark world that we live in. That we'll see joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and goodness and self-control come through us because we understand suffering in a new way. So we thank you for these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. What a lucky evening. So I'm going to give this opportunity. I know I'm going to probably create more work for myself now, but it's very out there, and I want to challenge your thinking. So if you have any things, just get hold of me in the week, and we can talk through it. And someone's like, oh, yeah, oh, no, we've got some takers, okay. And yeah, I love what God's doing. Amazing. I want to give you back feedback for those who are part of us. Monet, who is our intern, we shipped him off to Amanus last week. It was his first week there. He is doing so well. And I see on Facebook now he's got a little girlfriend as well, which is amazing. Yeah. No, here. Yeah. You know Ben's sister. Is Ben here? Ben, are you here? Okay, Ben. Okay, so it's Ben's sister. So Shami phones me on Friday. Hey, Brett, so I want to ask this girl out. You probably knew about it too, you'll tell, because he came through. And he's like, hey, I'm like, hey, bro, you're a grown man. If you want to ask her, you ask her, you know what I mean? I'm not going to. And then the next thing, I get this picture of him, like, with her. And so the Byatts with us last night, we had a bra. So we just took photos of us going back and we sent it back to him. And so he's doing very well. He had a good first week for those guys. And I'm missing him a lot. It feels like I've lost the sun. But he's vibing. I just worry that he's not going to ever come back. But we'll see. Well, I'll just kick him or something and get him back here. So just wanted to give you feedback on that. Anyways, love you guys. And that's it. And have a wonderful time. For those who are visiting, thank you for coming. Hope you have a wonderful week as well. Stop laughing at me. Okay. Hit house music. Love you guys.